20 years ago today, Timothy McVeigh was taken into federal custody for destroying the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in downtown Oklahoma City, killing 168 people and injuring hundreds more. KGOU's Jacob McClelland introduces us to a man who found himself in a strange position, inches away from the Oklahoma City bomber.
It was supposed to be Gary Kirby's day off when the senior airman in the United States Air Force got a call from his first sergeant. The request? Come back to Tinker Air Force Base dressed like this.
Pair of blue jeans, a white t-shirt, bring with me a black t-shirt and make sure I had white socks on.
Kirby showed up at the headquarters building to find a big blue Air Force bus. He climbed on board, where he found 40, maybe 50 guys, and all of them looked like him.
It was almost as though there were clones of me that I didn't know were taken, and we were all being ushered off to some weird purpose. I had no idea what this was all about.
But this wasn't some scene from Star Trek. An official from the Air Force Office of Special Investigations told the men they were going to Oklahoma County to be in a police lineup with Oklahoma City bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh.
In order to find members who fit that military sort of bearing that Timothy McVeigh had, and look, they had pinged all the surrounding military installations, looking for a gentleman who was between 5'11", 5'10", 168 to 185 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes, crew cut. And as it happened, I fit that description neatly. And then, of course, hands started flying up. We're not going to get falsely identified in this and then not be home for dinner, right? He explained basically they had no doubt as to who it was. They just wanted to allow some objectivity for the four witnesses that they had.
The bus took Kirby and the other military men to the Oklahoma County Courthouse. They lined up against a wall and lawyers came out, pointing to each one, saying no, 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 yes, no.
And when they pointed at me, they said yes.
Kirby and six others went downstairs to a holding area just outside the lineup room, where FBI agents and attorneys gave them specific instructions.
Don't look at him. Don't talk to him. If he says something to you, don't reply. Don't touch him. Basically, pretend he's an invisible force.
They were each given a blue cap and told to hold on to it until prompted to put it on.
One of the witnesses did report seeing a gentleman with a blue cap on backwards.
Gary Kirby was the fifth man in the lineup. McVeigh was moved around to different positions so he wouldn't be in the same spot for each witness. At different times, McVeigh stood right next to Kirby, once on his right and another time on his left.
There was at one point where we were asked to put the hats on, put mine on with the bill forward, and a voice came through the intercom there in the lineup room, number five, turn your hat around. So I did that, and he was standing next to me at the time, and it elicited a laugh out of him. For somebody who was in that sort of position, I thought was really odd, but, you know, he was human, which was, again, in itself rather odd because it's not what I expected to see for someone who could do something that bad.
It was odd to Kirby because McVeigh looked so ordinary, just like another guy he would see on the base. He didn't match Kirby's expectations for somebody who would commit a horrendous terrorist act. He says he expected somebody much more hardcore.
His demeanor was probably the oddest and probably the most troubling part of it. You or I, if we were in any kind of trouble, we might be sweating bullets, but he was very charismatic and very cool about it. Part of the daily minutiae, that's what it looked like.
It was that casual manner, being so nonchalant, that disturbed Kirby the most. For KGOU, I'm Jacob McClelland.